looking back at some of the other honors, there's the We Met Caddy Scholarship Fund. You must be very proud of that.
I'm very proud of that. That caddy fund was organized in 1949, and it has been a source of great satisfaction to me.
There's no story that could ever be told that is richer or sweeter than the story of Francis and Eddie.
And may your lives be full of birdies and eagles.
Hello and welcome to Legacy, the We Met Fun podcast. We're your hosts, Alistair Ingram and Colin McGuire. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of our prior conversations on the Legacy podcast, you can check out our website at wemet.org. As the fund celebrates its 75th anniversary, the We Met community has helped award $50 million in need-based college scholarships to more than 6,600 deserving young men and women since 1949. On today's episode, we're thrilled to be joined by Dave Wilson, who after 10 years as a successful golf professional, now works as a career consultant for the PGA of America. The son of Irish parents, Dave grew up in Quincy and began caddying at Wollaston Golf Club in middle school. He continued his loops at Wollaston throughout his time at BC High before earning a We Met scholarship. His college choice was Penn State, graduating from its PGM program in 2012. Dave's career as a PGA professional has taken him to some of the most prestigious golf courses both nationally and beyond, including Spyglass Hill in Pebble Beach, Shinnecock Hills on Long Island, Cape Kidnappers in New Zealand, the Country Club in Brookline, Hole in the Wall in Naples, Florida, Somerset Hills in New Jersey, and eventually Hyannisport on the Cape, where he was the head pro beginning in 2018. Dave has served as a board member for the fund for the last 3 years and as a member of the Club Relations Committee. We're extremely grateful for his dedication as a mentor in the game of golf and for his promotion of our life-changing scholarship opportunities to young men and women in Massachusetts. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Thanks for joining us, Dave, and we're excited to get the season kicked back up and start underway here, and the golf season was a perfect time to do it. So thanks for hopping on. And yeah, Alistair and I are excited to have a nice conversation with you today. And as you've heard, we like to start each of the podcasts with the guest golf introduction. So for Dave Wilson, what are some of the first memories of golf for you? I mean, was that a family affair? Just kind of walk us through how you remember being introduced to the game.
Yeah. So first things first, kind of need to mention that both my parents are from Ireland. And growing up, golf was always big in the family. My two grandfathers were probably the most involved in golf, and very lucky to play my first round of golf in Ireland with both grandfathers and my dad.
Oh, that's great.
It was the only time we ever got to do it. I shot a 135 that day, and I like to think I've gotten a little bit better since then. But that was my first time really out there playing golf. We had a blast. And that same year actually was my first time on a golf course in the States, and it was at the Country Club for the Ryder Cup.
Man, you go big.
I mean, get lucky, I guess, right? But had a great time. And yeah, then from there, growing up in Quincy, a lot of chipping golf balls in the backyard, and eventually started walking my way up to Furnace Brook and playing there, and also over at President's. But a lot of fun memories there for sure, starting off.
You eventually started caddying at Wollaston and just south of Boston, beginning of what would become your career in golf. What was the decision to start working? Was it kind of a given that, hey, as soon as I'm able, I'm going to become a caddy at a club? Or was it your parents just looking to kind of keep you busy? Like, what went into that first decision to say, I want to work at this golf course?
Yeah. So kind of goes back to my parents again, Alistair, like you said. And they both worked in the bars in Boston, bars and restaurants in Boston, working for the Glen Hospitality Group. And PJ Glen, who my dad works for, is a member over at Wollaston, and kind of said, hey, we have a great caddy program at Wollaston. I know David is starting to get into golf. Is that something he may be interested in? Lucky for me, my brother likes to give me a hard time. It's like watching the Little League World Series, and you're thinking, there's no way that kid's 12 years old. That was me. So carrying a bag wasn't that difficult, and I guess I got to pick up some double loops earlier than most of my peers.
Perfect. There was no validation of driver's license or anything like that.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I still remember my first loop actually under the straps was with Bill Foley. And we went off the 10th hole, and he hits in the bunker on the first hole. And I got in there to rake it, and I was moving too much sand, I was told. And I've taken that little bit of feedback ever since. I always remember it. He was great, and just so many other great loops out there over the years.
I'm sure Bill Foley, first loop. I mean, right out of the gate again, you must have had some great stories from him over there. I mean, just one of the top players in Massachusetts, trustee of the We Met Fund, and just he played with everybody.
Yeah, I've learned over the years, right, the people that you really want to pay attention to in a room are those that don't say a lot, but when they do, their words carry weight. And it's something I picked up, honestly, that first round caddying. He didn't say a lot, but when he did, it was impactful and it was meant to help you, for sure.
How many years did you caddy at Wollaston, Dave?
So I started caddying there, I want to say it was the summer before eighth grade. It was in middle school, and I caddied all the way through high school until going to Penn State. I was a We Met scholar, obviously, and along the way, got to caddy for some great folks there. Peter Mesh, obviously, being one, was great to me. I caddy for him in a couple tournaments. Jack Weeks, someone who I learned a lot from over the years. Bob Donovan, of course, and so many more people there that we could be here all day just talking about the great people that were up there from a young age, kind of helping me learn my way.
This is sort of your introduction to working in golf. We always hear so many stories about, especially through the fund, people that are caddying that just learn life lessons at an early age through caddying. It's obviously about golf, but it's about much more than that. All those years of caddying for a lot of impressive people, what were some of the lessons that you took out of that experience that still apply today?
Yeah, it's so true. It is just a story in life more than anything. And for me, I think it's the ability to learn how to interact with so many different types of people. And you never know whose bag you're going to be on. And as I like to say, you can't just throw a blanket over every situation. You've got to learn the nuances of it. And I've learned that time and time again since caddying. But the ability to read that individual, know how to say something, when to say something, what to say in that moment, or maybe not say. And really, I think it's the ability to read people. And there's no substitute of doing that in person either. And I think that's a big thing. But being out there listening and using as much knowledge that they're willing to share has always been impressive and fun to be around some great people.
Yeah, you just rattled off a few names and I'm sure you got some advice. I was just thinking, you just mentioned Penn State and you became a We Met scholar and attended Penn State. Personally, and you know this, I was drawn out to the Midwest myself to go to school, but what drew you to Happy Valley as a kid from Massachusetts? Was it outside influences? Was it research?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I played a lot of golf at Furnace Brook those last 2 years before college, and I've always loved sports. You know, growing up in Boston, the time in which I grew up in Boston, I mean, we won everything and primetime, and sports was a lot to me, always outside as a kid. May not have been the best at sports, but I always enjoyed them and enjoyed being a fan. And I knew that sports was going to be something, right? Sports management was kind of my mindset. Furnace Brook is a 9-hole course and you need to stop into the golf shop there to make sure you're okay to tee off on one. It's a blind shot off number one. And I stop in and Dave Greblick was in the golf shop. Dave Greblick is the title of sales rep in the Boston area. And Ed Dobbins was the assistant pro at the time and said, Dave, I'd like you to meet Dave Greblick. He's our title sales rep. I know you're interested in working in sports. And we just started talking. One thing led to another. He told me about the PGM program that the PGA is accredited. And safe to say, I did not play the back nine that day. I went home and started doing some research about, okay, how do I find my way into this program? Penn State was the closest to me geographically, being in the Northeast. And I always loved the idea of a D1 school. Not that I was going to play sports, but having loved sports, you know, having that exposure, going on Saturdays in the fall, going to a football game with 110,000 of your closest friends, basketball games, winning the NIT championship, and the list goes on. But the big school was something for me and I really enjoyed it. Furthermore, when I arrived on campus, once my parents left, I didn't know a single person. And I'm sure you had a similar situation, Colin.
Very similar. Yeah, that was a tough first few days, for sure.
And for me, I was lucky. Golf was my connection to a lot of what are still my closest friends. Still talking to a lot of those friends from school.
So one of the things I'm sure, Dave, that you also considered is that career services piece. There's a lot of PGM programs across the country, but you know, with Penn State, that strong program clearly afforded you a few notable summer internships out of the chute. with Brendan Walsh in Brookline, Spyglass Hill in Pebble Beach in 2010, Shinnecock 2011. I mean, those are incredible formal introductions to the industry. So what did those experiences teach you about working at highly respected world-class golf courses?
Yeah, super fortunate, obviously, to be able to be at some well-known facilities. And to me, it's all about the people. And the people are how you get your interview. And then from there, you kind of figure out what you can do from there on your own. And you've got to prove yourself. But I mean, whether it's at the country club working with Brendan Walsh, who I, you know, went back there after college, amazing golf professional, even better person. And learning from him and how to build those relationships. Going out to Spyglass the year of the US Open in 2010 was an amazing experience to be out there inside the ropes with those players and learning what that Pebble Beach experience is all about, how to deliver on that world-class experience and service levels that they're known for. And then from there, going to Shinnecock, some of my fellow peers at school had kind of paved the way and made that opportunity something that became year after year. Someone from Penn State was getting that opportunity, if not more than one student. I learned a lot about merchandising out there. Jack Druga and all that he does, phenomenal merchandiser. He's a great player, great teacher. So you learn something along the way from all these different people, and it's been a true pleasure.
You obviously were at Spyglass, then back in the East Coast at Shinnecock. You eventually went a lot further west, which we'll get to in a second. But any nuances between the East Coast versus West Coast style, or any interesting stories that you might have from working sort of on both coasts of that high-end experience?
It's a fantastic question, Alistair, and something that I like to share with people when they're asking me where they should do their next internship as well. And it's actually a question I asked a Penn State alum, JJ Weaver. I was a freshman. I just got my internship at the country club, and you know, I lived at home. I lived in Quincy and drove over to Brookline every day. And I remember asking JJ, where should I do my next internship? Expecting him to give me a list of clubs, of places to go. And instead he said, go as far away from home as possible, because there'll be a point in your life where you're going to get a job opportunity that you are so excited about. And before you know if that's the right opportunity, you need to know how you're going to react. You could have a family. You need to be able to take care of them, but you need to know how you're going to react in that amount of change first. And so with that was Spyglass. The thing I loved about Spyglass and being on the West Coast was we would do some junior golf clinics. They were tied in with the AT&T. Part of the proceeds from the AT&T every year, the juniors in the area get to take part in a week-long golf clinic at Pebble Beach, whether it's at Pebble, at Spyglass, Spanish Bay, Del Monte, and it's totally paid for the kids. And they would come up, we'd do golf clinics for the whole week, but I was so used to being on the East Coast where after golf clinics, kids are getting scooped up, they're going to lacrosse, they're going to baseball. But after golf clinics in California, the parents would all hang out. And do you guys want to putt some more? Yeah, go for it. And it was just the lifestyle. Golf out there is 12 months. And it started kind of hitting me a little differently. You know, the East Coast hustle and bustle is real. We appreciate it. We live out here. And there's ways that we can slow it down too sometimes. It was just a good little reminder for me personally.
And you took that advice of moving far away to the next level. I believe this is your first winter out of Penn State. Cape Kidnappers in New Zealand. So halfway around the world. I've seen some photos of Cape Kidnappers just on golf Instagram accounts and just looks absolutely incredible. But that experience of literally going halfway around the world for a winter, how was that? I mean, was that nerve-wracking of just what am I doing? Or was that just an experience where you said, hey, look, this time of my life, like this is what I should be doing and this is an opportunity I can't pass up?
Yeah, I mentioned my friends from Penn State earlier and they say nothing good happens after midnight in college, but this is the one exception where there were four of us chatting one night and we were about to graduate and we realized that moving into the next fall, we were going to have to find employment if we were working in the Northeast. And we had known of some folks who had gone down to New Zealand. One of our advisors at Penn State, a good friend of his, Ryan Brandenburg, was actually the director of golf at the time at Cape and Kauri. And the Cape and Kauri being sister courses in New Zealand were owned by an American family, the Robertsons, and they enjoyed having those golf professionals from clubs that they were familiar with in the States working seasonally. It was a holiday visa, holiday working visa we could use. And so we said, we're not going to go to Florida. we're going to give New Zealand everything we have. And the four of us actually went to New Zealand that first winter out of college, two to Kauri, two to Cape. And what a great experience. I mean, culturally amazing. Golf courses were great, but just having that life experience. We never got to study abroad in college, being in the PGM program. And that was our study abroad.
Absolutely. I mean, on steroids. Yeah. That's great.
A lot of funny stories, you know, buying a car when you first get there for $1,500 that you put all four of us in and pedals on the floor and we're getting passed by everybody driving up the mountain. Just a lot of great stories and life experiences for sure.
Describe that golf course to someone who's not familiar with it. I mean, again, I'm sort of a junkie with the golf Instagrams and the aerial footage. I mean, the best way I can describe Cape Kidnapper is just looking at it is it has these ridges almost that extend toward the ocean. They're almost like fingers, and on each finger is a hole. Is that accurate, having worked there?
It is, yeah. So Tom Doak did a great job out of Kidnappers. And the first thing I'll say about Kidnappers is it's very dramatic. You're up on top of these 600-foot cliffs, Pacific Ocean right there. But beyond that, the golf course, Alistair, I think could be planted anywhere in the world and still be a great golf course. It's the addition of the drama that makes it so memorable and awe-inspiring. But the back nine are the images that you're referencing. I always explain it to people, and I know this is a podcast, so it's going to be hard, but if you're to look at the back of your hand, number 10 goes out on your thumb, 11 goes from the tip of your thumb back to that little webbing in your hand, 12 goes down your index finger, 13 is a par three that goes from the tip of your index finger to the tip of your middle finger, 14 comes back down, 15 goes all the way out. 15 is the one everyone sees the photos of. That's, they call it Pirate's Plank. 600 yards, 40, 50 yard fairway, nothing on either side. It's probably wider than that, but it felt about that wide. 16, you come back down your pinky, and those are your holes right there out on the cliffs. And 17 and 18 are two great additional holes kind of working their way back into the clubhouse. But there were afternoons we go out there on the back nine ourselves and just not even really play golf, but just take it in.
I mean, the experience, you know, you're talking about the visual piece of it and you're out of your element a little bit when you first get there, but the golf course, breathtaking, different vibes, whether it's California, New Zealand. What about the element of, again, talk about people and you spend a season with different people at different internships. Talk about the mentors and the relationships you built. You mentioned Jack Druga and Brendan Walsh. How important were some of them for you to have that in the beginning? You know, JJ Weaver directing you in a general direction, starting out and not having to figure it out on your own for 8 years before someone grabbed your shoulder. You had some of the giants in the game doing that from an early stage for you, Dave.
One of Brendan's great lines is, you're only as good as your team. And you've got to surround yourself with the best possible people that you can. And so all of those people love to help others. And I think it's something I'm trying to make sure I'm doing the best of as well and sharing whatever I can. And just so fortunate, right? Just trying to like put this into words isn't easy. What it really all means is they're there to push you. You're going to have some tough conversations, but it's because they care so much and they're going to push you to be a better person because they believe in the potential that you have. And whether it also be, you know, John Budenhagen down a hole in the wall in Naples when he first got the job down there and looks at me as I was 23 at the time and says, hey, what are you doing this winter? I don't know. He goes, okay, perfect. You're coming with me. We're going to go down to hole in the wall in Naples and I want you to help me get started. And from there is Dan Joseph. He was at Somerset Hills.
More Brendan Walsh tree. You're throwing names from that tree still, Dave. Yeah.
It's a big tree.
It is. It grows.
And DJ doing the same thing, bringing me with him down to New Jersey, the Somerset Hills, as he was getting started and being able to grow with these people as well. Some of the best friendships you'll ever create. And you're in the trenches with them. But I think it's one of the great things with the golf industry is you can pick up the phone, call somebody, explain to them who you are, and you can create a pretty quick relationship. As I say, the world's pretty small once you put that little white ball in it, and people are always willing to help. It's just, you can't be afraid to ask for that help.
After all those years floating around, working at so many high-class courses, talk to us a little bit about that opportunity in 2018 with Hyannisport. assistant pro for all those years, learning under so many great people as part of that Brendan Walsh tree. But 2018, you get the opportunity to be the head pro at Hyannisport for the first time. What was that experience like? And how did you go about putting your stamp on it? I know, obviously, we're going to get into the hiring of young people, the mentoring of young people, but what was your mindset of, hey, I'm the guy now?
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to DJ on this one, and obviously everyone else we've already mentioned, but I remember sitting in a room with DJ we would sit down once a week and prep for an interview. We didn't know what that interview was or when it was going to come up, but we would prep so that when that moment came, I wasn't reacting to anything, but I was able to respond. It was so important in terms of just helping me develop as an individual as well. I was 27 years old when these opportunities came up, and DJ and Brendan and obviously everyone beforehand had helped me prepare and think as if I was going to take on these opportunities. They'd given me the hands-on experience. And Alistair, to your point, it was an amazing experience and something I'm always going to be grateful for. Hyannisport's just such a special place there on the Cape. And I remember going down to the Cape a few times as a kid and thinking about where we could play golf. And the first time I played Hyannisport was actually in a We Met event. It was a pro-am. I think it was like 2013, 2014, around that time. But I remember playing that place and just being the whole way around, wow, this is awesome. And to go back there, and very fortunate to have been their head golf professional for 4 years.
And another club that you've had some experience with the caddy programs and so many young people around the club. Was that an important factor in terms of you and Hyannisport aligning?
I think it definitely helped. They had a caddy program there and they still do. Being able to be involved in that. And the club actually aligned a lot with Somerset Hills and Hole in the Wall a little bit, where it wasn't the same size and scope as the country club. Pro-owned shop. Activity levels were kind of in that 500 member range. And it was a great opportunity to bring in kind of what I learned in my mark. Brought in everything I could. It was the club's already in a great position, and just to be able to bring a little bit more and bring my own mark, whatever that was a true pleasure.
I mean, you had dozens and scores of kids that came through there in your time. And I just want to, before we move on, I want to quickly acknowledge one relationship that you had and still have with one of those workers. Some of our listeners recall last year, the 2023, we met banquet speaker Anthony Adelizzi. Dave, can you update for the group? We saw Anthony at this year's event as a guest in the audience with his parents, a bit of how he continues to take those next steps with his dreams in the golf industry.
Yeah, Anthony's fantastic. His family's fantastic. And he's had a goal of being a PGA professional, which is something he is continuing to work towards. He is a student at Methodist University down in North Carolina, another one of those PGM schools that are accredited by the PGA, similar to Penn State. And he is working through the program. So he's passed his player ability test, which is a tough hurdle to get over. He's working through his portfolios, his work experiences. He's very excited, has a great opportunity this summer working at Manchester Lane with Titleist at their testing facility. Something he's very passionate about is the instructional and club fitting side. So he's continuing to push forward each and every day and really looking forward to seeing what that future brings for him.
Yeah, we all are. And I know Titleist is as well.
Yeah, I had a chance to meet Anthony at the banquet. Incredible story, incredible young man, and certainly represents, I think, what the fund is all about. You've made a little bit of a transition, Dave, the last few years to the PGA of America here in New England, sort of a unique role, at least in terms of learning a little bit more about it, not only helping PGA professionals with employment assistance, career development, also assisting courses on the other side with finding pros where those goals align, you know, not just hiring someone, but hiring someone where it's a fit, as you said before, with Hyannisport. Tell us a little bit about the mission of this division of the PGA of America and why it's been such a nice fit for you last couple of years.
Sure. Yeah, it's been extremely rewarding couple of years. And it's just being able to add on to all that. Thinking back at Hyannisport, one of my favorite things there was, as you brought up, Colin, was working with the team, you know, right? Whether it was Andy Lane, who's now at Worcester, Kevin Cristofaro, who were both there as my first assistants, being able to work with them. And now with the PGA, being able to take that kind of approach as best as I can within New England, both the New England and Connecticut sections. So geographical New England, the PGA is broken up into 41 different sections. But for the listeners out there, just think geographical New England is where it kind of boils down to. Yeah, the mission, like you said, Alistair, is to provide assistance. It's to be able to help out individuals in whether it be career, contract negotiations, professional development, personal development. You start to have conversations with a lot of different folks. And I've had some very interesting personal conversations where I've been able to help people as well. When I first left college, I remember someone asking me, Dave, where do you see yourself in 20 years? My answer was never head pro. It was something that I'm very fortunate happened along the way, but my answer was to help people. And it was in my thought, I thought I'd be running a PGM program, being a college golf coach, helping that next generation. And it's something that I'm very fortunate to be able to do here with the PGA of America as we continue to try and promote the industry. Golf is a $100 billion industry now, which is crazy when you think about it. And there's so many opportunities within it. So in this position, it's not just working at a golf course. It's talking about opportunities that you all may have at the WeMet Scholarship Fund with some students coming out of college and making them aware of those opportunities as well.
I know there's many others in your role all across the country working for the PGA of America with this. You know, you pick up the phone, you get on the plane, you meet people, you drive out, you see them, you have conversations with boards. The industry has absolutely changed. And so having these conversations be reflective of the industry change and you bringing that kind of awareness of not the other side as if they're adversaries, but all the perspectives of the stakeholders in these conversations, right?
Yeah, it's about bringing the two sides together. And I think having the experience that I've been able to have, fortunately, has allowed me to transition pretty smoothly into this. A lot of learning still to do. There's a lot of different facilities out there, a lot of different clubs, and learning how you can take things from one experience and blend it into the next. But it's just a great opportunity as golf booms, right? Always talk about the COVID boom. People have expected that to slow down, but rounds of golf have continued to increase year over year since. And so how do we find a way to create the best possible experience for employees as well as golfers? And that's a big mission of ours.
What would be your advice for, say, a high school junior who's looking at, hey, I want to work in golf? They're trying to figure out what that means, what that entails. They look into a PGM program, kind of like you did when you were working at Wollaston, looking at Penn State. What would be your advice to someone like that who's just trying to figure out what working golf means?
Yeah. If they're not already caddying or working in golf themselves, I think it's important to at least kind of scratch the surface a little bit and get that exposure at a club. Also find their interests. Like I said, it's not just working as a golf pro. There's so many other avenues within it. Looking at Anthony as an example and going down to work at the testing facility at Titleist. It's really try and figure out what those interests are, line those up. And then on the flip side, maybe sometimes it's, okay, what do I not want to do in golf? And sometimes asking that question allows you to identify other opportunities a little bit easier. And at the end of the day, it's what do you want to do, not who do you want to be?
Or maybe having some of those not be disqualifiers. Okay, you don't want to do as much of the finance piece. Well, build the team that slots in and that they have it covered if you don't want to do that. And as you said earlier, build in the team and you're only as good as the team around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you mind if we just double back, just thinking back of Wollaston and Penn State again, you decided to pursue golf as your career and simultaneously, basically how it matches up, you decide on Penn State before becoming a WeMet scholar, but how did you learn about the fund? You know, you mentioned someone like Peter Mace, who might've been the WeMet chair at the time at Wollaston, and how that scholarship impacted your college path and, you know, eventually getting involved at TCC, Hyannisport, and now joining our board. You have a history, as much as you've been all over the world, you do have a history in Massachusetts with golf. But how did that piece of it, how did you learn about the history relative to WeMet and the opportunities there?
Yeah, so the WeMet scholarship honestly was a piece of caddying. And it was a piece of beginning to caddy. It was brought up to my parents when caddying was mentioned. Hey, you can also probably get a scholarship. We've been working with the Francis WeMet Scholarship Fund at Wollaston and creating some different opportunities for those caddies to further their education into college. And it was huge. Frankly, neither of my parents went to college. And for me to be able to get that We Met scholarship was big in affording me the opportunity to look out and find different opportunities. And Penn State, obviously being where I ended up going, the We Met scholarship paid for my housing. In my senior year, I remember specifically looking at what my rent was going to be. And when that We Met check came in, it almost matched up perfectly. And that was a huge relief for us and allowed me to get the additional experience through the golf program at Penn State because I was able to live off campus. The year before, I was an RA to help kind of offset some of that cost. And I actually had to leave my spring semester of being an RA because I had an opportunity that was going to require so many days off campus. And unfortunately, they weren't going to allow it. So I had no choice but to kind of step away from being that RA for that spring semester. And We Met really stepped up that next year.
Well, can't thank you enough. I mean, you've never stepped away. You've always stayed involved, golf marathon. And like I said, now you're on the board and appreciate you being so engaged and advocating for these young people and showing people how they can get involved. So thanks for wearing the We Met hat too, Dave.
No, thank you for allowing me to wear it.
And this is one thing that you were able to do shortly after graduation, just going back to your time at the country club, the 2013 US Amateur, Matt Fitzpatrick, who I believe didn't wear a hat during the event. Speaking of hats, I think he won that event hatless. But those events, as you know, they don't just happen. It requires a ton of planning, months, if not years, with the USGA. A little bit more about your experience helping to execute that event with a lot of different stakeholders.
Yeah, it was a great event. That golf course was so hard the weeks leading up to it. The rough was so long and, you know, as a lot of moving pieces. And each assistant pro was assigned a different area to oversee. And we had a member co-chair work with us. So Greg Petrini and I were assigned all of the golf carts. So we worked with Keith Tortorella, Country Club Enterprises. I think it was something like 96 golf carts we were responsible for over the course of the week. The indoor tennis building was completely gutted. We had all the carts lined up, organized. We had to have name placards of everyone who could take one for the week. And that was just my one little piece, being able to work through that championship. But that was Brendan. He wanted to make sure each staff member had the opportunity to get hands-on experience. So that was a lot of fun. I still remember Matt Fitzpatrick and Oliver Goss. They had won the semifinal match. And the Red Sox Yankees were in town that weekend, and they were invited to go throughout the first pitch. So you've got someone from England and someone from Australia. And we were just having some fun with them that they were going out to do that.
Yeah, and obviously Matt Fitzpatrick comes back less than 10 years later and wins the US Open on the same course.
Unbelievable, really. Just a great showing by him. And I think it's safe to say that in this situation, he's built for that course.
Yeah, I think he enjoys the country club quite a lot at this point.
I think he feels at home there.
If you could pick one hole at a course you've worked at, you've already given a sort of the back nine rundown of Cape Kidnappers. It sounds like any one of those holes could be your favorite hole, but taking New Zealand out of the picture, one hole from a course you've worked at, for whatever reasons you pick, that is your favorite hole.
That's such a hard question. It's like trying to figure out who your favorite child is.
Well, we only have one right now, so I would think it's...
I do.
Can't wait.
I'll preface this by saying I love par four that can be played many different ways. Whether you want to take as much off of it as you want, or you can lay back and play into it. This is the We Met Scholarship podcast, so I am going to say 17 at the country club, where we have the Varden bunker, and obviously We Met kind of pulls away on 17. Justin Leonard making the putt in the 99 Ryder Cup. A lot of pivotal moments have happened there, but there's just so many different ways you can play that hole. Whether you're going to hit an iron outright, still have a short enough club in, or really just try and take on those bunkers like Varden did and go for that risk reward. I really like that risk reward opportunity in a hole.
Well, you've taken plenty of risks, Dave, and you've been rewarded for doing that. And I think there's some We Met scholars and fellow pros who've listened to you. And I think you're probably pretty proud that they've probably taken some chances on themselves too, bet on themselves. And with your support, they're being rewarded.
Thanks. Someone said to me, it's okay to fail as long as you're failing forward. That's how you learn.
Love it. Yep. Dave, is there anything that we didn't necessarily cover today that you'd love to cover? Talk a little bit about.
We mentioned it earlier. growing up as a caddy, there's so much to learn. And as that goes forward, the opportunities that are provided through the scholarship are not just the financial opportunities that we talk about, but it's the network. It's the family that you get to become a part of. And we talked about having people around you that are willing to help. I mean, Colin, how many WeMet alums are there now?
Yeah, there's been 6,600.
It's like a fraternity that you're a part of. And having that one little piece to connect with and ask those people for help, I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for the people around me over the course of my life, whether it be family, friends, colleagues, and I'd say just everyone out there. Have those conversations. Get to know the person, not just on the surface, but don't be afraid to ask those questions that you're going to learn more about them as well. And you'll learn some stuff for along the way, and it's a fun ride, so enjoy it.
Well, it's a bit early. We don't know if they'll be working in golf, but I know that they'll be introduced to golf. So again, a big congratulations to you and Shayla with young Cam becoming a big brother in the fall.
Thank you. Very much appreciated.